So, Radio Dial is your fourth album. What do you think you've learned from the first three, and how do you think you're going to take that in to make this album what you need it to be?
For me, you know, with the first three, I think there's such a difference between, for me at least, writing songs and then trying to get those songs to translate on a recording. And so for this one, I felt that I was a little bit more prepared going in terms of just the arrangements and knowing how I wanted the song to feel. Whereas with A Plea for Dreamland, I was really thrilled with the songs, but was working more piece by piece. So I think it was just being a little bit more familiar with the studio.
Okay, I mean, you put your first three albums out independently. I mean, how difficult is that? I know there's millions of people out there that, they think they're Colby Calais and that they could just go on YouTube and then they become a sensation and stuff. I mean, how difficult is it to kind of be your own boss at this?
It was like getting started with any project. You know, I'd certainly had moments where it was a bit overwhelming. With this particular record, Radio Dial, it was my first time taking the helm as being sole producer, which is just the way that things worked out. I'm a pretty organized person, so I tried to, with what I didn't have, with the experience, I tried to make up for in terms of organization. But it can be difficult in any project trying to raise funds to make a record with. Even making a record, on what's considered peanuts is actually, it's quite a bit of money. So, I saved up for many years to, preparing for this record. So it can be challenging, and what's cool about, these days with the internet, there's so many different ways that you can kind of harness support from friends and fans and utilize different mediums to make records, which is really great.
How would you describe your sound to someone that's never heard you before?
I think primarily it's, I'm a very pop influenced writer. I think I'm more of a melodically driven songwriter. But I do gravitate towards a lot of more roots-based music, music that's more in the folk vein, I guess. Artists like Gillian Welch or John Hyatt, but I also love artists like David Gray, and people who are a little bit more in the pop vein. So I would say it was like rootsy pop music.
Okay, Lion's Mouth has a little bit of that going on. Can you just talk about the creative process behind that song? What do the lyrics mean? How did that song, become what it is?
Yeah, sure. That one, that one is one of my favorites on the record. And when I wrote it, it was pretty much it was very skeletal. There was a lot of space. I wrote it on guitar, and I could hear it in my head how I wanted it to sound. I wanted the sound to have a really big atmosphere to it, and wanted the song to have this kind of landscape. And was referencing actually the song called "Lovesick," off Dylan's "Time Out of Mind" record. Daniel Lanois, his production style. And as far as the story, I just had this image of someone, whether I didn't know if he was a soldier or who he was, but he was on some kind of journey, some kind of trek. And the lyrics are tried to be, are very cerebral. They're kind of what's going on in his head, and he's trying to get back home to see this woman. And so I wanted the song to just have this kind of snarl to it, but not to have a specific meaning or a specific story to it, but almost like a mood piece, I guess.
Okay, so you've mentioned Dylan and Hyatt, and those are some of the artists that you're interested in that you like. What are some artists that you like that people wouldn't expect, like your fans, that they would go, "Oh my God, he listens to that? I didn't know that."
Oh man, I'm. It's funny. I tend to. I'm not very. I like. I can always find something that I like. In terms of music. So I was weaned and grew up on rock bands, and was a big Smashing Pumpkins fan growing up, and then also got into a lot of blues music, Buddy Guy, Albert King. But to me, it's like if something's done is done well, and if there's something that I can pull from it, whether it's top 40 or something that's a little bit more obscure, it all kind of soaks in and comes out in its own way, as far as a guilty pleasure artist, I'm not really sure off the top of my head who I could name. I'd have to think about that.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah,
Maybe we'll get back to that if
yeah,
you're feeling a little daring later. Okay, all right,
yeah.
great. Okay, so how do you relax away from music?
Me? You know, I'm definitely like a homebody. I love being home, and I like to cook a lot, and just spending time with the family. I have a little dog also, and so take him to the park, and you know, I try to pick it up when I'm inspired to pick it up, and then also, just like anything else, you got to learn how to put it down for a little bit at time at t you know, at those times as well. I do all my own booking and planning as well, so there's always things that I could be doing. So sometimes I have to force myself to say, you know what, we're going to take a little bit of a break and just chop up some garlic and mix.
So let's talk about your current schedule. Where you've been playing lately? What's the current tour situation look like? Are you excited for the summer?
I am. I'm very excited. I've been laying low for the last couple months, just in preparation for the record. And then beginning in June, the record comes out on the 17th of June, and I'm going to be doing about a 10-day to 2-week Northeast tour. And then in July, I'm going to be heading to the Midwest. And hopefully in August, I have some tentative plans to head down south to Texas, and then also out west to California, Washington, Oregon, hopefully. So yeah, I'm really, really excited. I'm really excited for this record. You know, really worked hard on it. I'm very, very proud of it, and I'm excited for people to hear it.
What do you want people to get out of this record? Like, if someone could come up to you, I'll give you a hypothetical. If someone came over to you and they said exactly what you wanted to hear, like that you got that perfect emotional response that you wanted, what do you think they'd say to you?
You know, I think for me, I it would be a huge compliment if someone, you know, told me that this record sounded, there was something very distinctive about it that they haven't heard before, or that it made them feel a certain way. A lot of this record for me is about, you know, thinking about things, you know, thinking about growing up, and for me, when I was younger, I used to just get lost in records and listen to them over and over again. And so, if this record could do that for somebody else, that would mean the world to me.
Okay, is there anything else that you want to say about, you know, the current album or what your future holds, or just to get people interested in you that haven't heard you before?
To get people interested that haven't heard, you know, I have a couple songs from the record that are online you can stream, and you know, I really put my heart and soul into this project, and was extremely lucky to be working with the band. A couple of the guys that are on the record, Austin Nevins and Sam Kassir, regularly play with Josh Ritter's Royal City Band, and as well as Joel Arnau and David Dada, the rhythm section. And I was really lucky to be working with some incredible song makers and musicians on this project. And it's a very big sounding record, which is different than A Plea for Dreamland. It's the mixes sound big. The songs have kind of a 5 o'clock shadow to them. They got some teeth to them, and I think people are really going to like it.